Mommy made me mash my M&Ms. Okay, we are ready to go. Did you get that sip of water?
I'm ready.
All right. Welcome to the Palms and Paws Valentine's podcast episode. We are so happy that you're here. As always, I'm joined by my illustrious co-host, Greta Rose. How are you doing today?
I am amazing. Thank you so much. Illustrious. I love your description. Thank you. I'll take it.
Before we dive into the Valentine's episode, I hear that it's a little chilly in your neck of the woods.
It is. Thank you for asking. Yes, East Coast. And we've got quite a few members who are here as well. So I hope we're all staying warm and cozy by the fires. We head into the love month.
The month of love. Well, for all of our listeners out there, whether you are in the brisk 60-degree weather of the West Coast, or you are trying to stay warm in the Midwest and East Coast, we hope that this episode warms your spirits. And such an incredible time of year. We are looking towards Valentine's Day, and I think Saint Valentine would be very proud of our episode.
Yeah, love is one of those things we all recognize instantly, and yet the moment we try to explain it, words fall short, right?
100%. I think about how I would describe the first bond that I had with an animal, Charlie, my first golden retriever that I ever fell in love with as a kid.
Charlie.
And this dog, I mean, it just, we didn't have much to talk about. I know that sounds silly, but like Charlie was truly my best friend, and the connection we had was incredible. It was always as if he just completely understood me and accepted me. And I think I define intimacy as being able to be yourself without fear of judgment. And pets can give us that. They can give us that ability for us to just 100% be loved and accepted for who we are. You know, I think that that's something that we can lean into.
It reminds me of the poet Mary Oliver. She said, "Pay attention, be astonished." And our pets do that every day. They pay attention to us, they astonish us, and somehow, without ever saying a word, they teach us what love really feels like. Pet love, by its very nature, it's almost impossible to articulate. It's sacred, instinctual, uncomplicated, profound. I mean, it's so difficult to articulate, but I think today we're gonna try, right?
We're going to give it a go, and we're going to ask some of our friends and even some passersby how they would define it and see if we can get a little better insight. We'll call it pod on the street.
I
Before we
love
get into
it.
that, I can't tell you how many times in or around the 14th of February we'll have dogs coming in for eating a box of chocolates or an entire chocolate cake while a partner was waiting to surprise their loved one. So, couple tips if you don't mind.
Yes. And I've got a couple of specific questions about this.
Yeah, let's dive into that now.
Okay, cool. So I know chocolate is bad, but I don't know why. Why is chocolate bad?
So, chocolate is high in two different compounds, one being caffeine, the other is theobromine. These are in a chemical class called methyl xanthines, and these are very difficult to be processed by dogs. And so when dogs ingest these, you know, similar to humans, they can get the excitatory effects of the methyl xanthines. But because it's difficult for their bodies to process, what'll actually happen is in really early stages of toxicity, they will develop vomiting and diarrhea. In the deeper phases of intoxication, they'll develop high heart rate and potential arrhythmias that can be dangerous. And the third and final phase is neurological signs. We can see seizures, we can see very dangerous neurological side effects. And so, you know, classing it in the three phases of intoxication, we have gastrointestinal, cardiac, and neurological progressing in severity. And so the key is to induce vomiting before we start to see any of those signs within 2 hours is optimal. So if your pet ingests chocolate or you're suspicious of it, it's key to get them to the vet within 2 hours, optimally within 45 minutes, as soon as possible. But within 2 hours, we still have a great shot at mitigating the amount of methylxanthines that get absorbed.
Wow. Okay. And is chocolate, we talk a lot about dogs. Are cats interested in chocolate? Is there a difference between dogs and cats and their reaction to it?
Yeah, so cats fare a little bit better. It's still something that they can experience intoxication from. They are able to process methylxanthines a little bit better than dogs, but it's still important to avoid the risk. Cats are notoriously curious as well, and so if they ingest enough, we'll certainly see the gastrointestinal signs. Depending on the amount of cocoa that is ingested, the toxic effects can compound for them as well. And it's important to note, not all chocolate is created equal. Milk chocolate has far less actual cocoa than dark chocolate, bittersweet chocolate, baking chocolate, and then cocoa powder. I've had dogs, for reasons I don't understand, get into a jar of cocoa powder, and their family comes to the kitchen to find out that they've got just their blonde retriever is just covered in cocoa powder. And that is a much more striking emergency because the methylxanthine dose increases significantly with these pure forms of chocolate.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, that was my next question. So, chocolate substitutes like carob, or I can't think of another one, but are they equally as dangerous?
I'm going to have to look that one up, Greta Rose. I don't know what
Okay.
carob is. I know what a cherub is.
That's hilarious. Oh my gosh, my health nut mom would feed me carob instead of chocolate.
Oh
It's a
my gosh.
chocolate substitute.
Is there actual cocoa in it? That would be the question. I would be curious to know.
That's so funny. Okay, we'll find out. We'll find out. And what about like white chocolate?
White chocolate is lowest on the list. There are versions of white chocolate that contain small amounts of cocoa. So those would be the ones to watch for. Traditionally, if it's very low in actual cocoa, it's still very high in fat, and we can expect to see some gastrointestinal signs, vomiting and diarrhea with ingestion of enough. The larger the animal, the lower the risk per the amount of chocolate ingested. It's still a great idea to have your pet assessed by a veterinarian. The smaller the animal, the higher the risk is per volume of chocolate ingested.
That makes sense. That makes sense. When in doubt, call your vet.
Absolutely.
What do you do?
Yes. So if you are suspicious that your pet has ingested chocolate or any potentially noxious substances during this month of love, contact your veterinarian to get further instruction. And it's always best to keep the labels. So if there are labels or wrappers from the candy or chocolate that was ingested, it's important to keep those so that when poison control is contacted, we can give them the exact amount of cocoa or chocolate that was ingested.
Roger that. Clear on the chocolate protocol. Thank you so much, Dr. Kevin. Now we're going to turn the corner and we're going to dive into this next chapter we are calling the street segment, palms and paws style, where we are asking friends we know, people we don't know, to help us articulate this crazy thing we call love, true love, a little Princess Bride reference.
Yes, have a listen. All right, we're recording. All right, Mom, can you hear me okay?
I sure can, Kev. How are you?
Okay, question number one. If you had to use one word to describe your pet and the love you feel for them, what would it be?
I don't know if I can limit it to just one word, Kevin. I love Scout so very, very much. He's a great companion and he shows empathy at times when needed.
All right. So, is there one word that comes to mind when you think about him?
I love him.
All right. That's sweet. Okay. Number two, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most love you could possibly feel for a creature, one being the lowest, where does Scout fall?
A nine.
Nine. Why a nine?
Because he's a really smart dog. He understands what I say when I ask him to do certain things. And he brings me great joy.
I love that. Kind of like your first answer where you said you didn't think you could give him less than a 10. Do you want to say that again?
Okay, let's go back to that one then.
Okay. All right. Same question. If you had to rate your love for Scout on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most you could possibly feel for a creature, what would it be?
I couldn't do anything less than a 10, Kevin.
Okay, perfect. And then last, I think I know the answer to this one already, but do you have a pet Valentine this year?
I do.
And who's your pet Valentine?
Scout McKevilly.
All right. And do you mind just saying like my pet Valentine is
Is Scout.
okay, go for it.
My pet Valentine is Scout.
All right, that was good. That was a like a voice model. All right, thank you so much, Ma. That was great. All right, we're gonna hold off on having you sing Happy Birthday until a future podcast, okay?
Wonderful.
All right, thanks, Ma. I love you.
Love you. Bye.
All right, Luis,
Hello.
you've got some pets at home,
I do. I have two dogs and a cat. I
right?
have my youngest dog, 9-month-old Malty Poo, Truman. Then I have a 13-year-old Chihuahua Poodle mix, Tenor. And then I have a 2-year-old Siamese cat, Big Tuna. All T names.
So, February is the month of Valentine's Day, the
Yes.
month of love. How would you describe in one word the love you feel for your pets?
Unending.
I love it. And on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 is the love of your life. How do you rank your pets? 10 out of 10?
Tony, or Tenor, is a 10 out of 10. He was my first one straight out of high school. Truman, currently, he's more of a 6 or 7. He's a little rambunctious, a little crazy sometimes. Tuna is a solid 8. He's a good buddy. He's a good kid.
And do you have, out of the three, do you have one that is going to be your pet Valentine this year?
Oh, definitely Tony. He's my Valentine. He's gonna be my Valentine forever.
What is one word you'd use to describe the love you have for your pet?
Enormous.
Where does your pet rank on that 1 to 10 scale?
10.
And who is your pet Valentine this year?
Ooh, who is my pet Valentine? I'm gonna have to just disperse it amongst all my pets.
What is one word you describe your love for your pets?
One word, unconditional.
Oof, that's a good one. Okay. If a 10 is love of your life, maximum love you can feel, one is the bottom, lowest love you can feel, how do you, where do your pets score?
A 10.
10? Perfect. No one's saying over 10. Like, you could say a million, you know?
Okay, 100.
And do you have a pet Valentine this year?
I do have a pet Valentine. It is my senior cat, Linus, who I adopted 2 months ago. He is my little guy, and I love him to death.
All right, Daddy-O, you ready for this?
I sure am.
All right, question number one. What is the one word you would use to describe the love you feel for your pet?
Obsessed. I'm absolutely obsessed with this dog.
Okay.
There are no other words.
Okay, that is perfect. That's the first time I've had somebody respond with that, so that's really good. Number two, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being the lowest amount, 10 being the most love you could possibly feel for a creature, what would you give to that dog?
12.
Okay, only a 12.
Oh, because the scale, I mean, if 10 is perfect, he's just tipping the scale to the other end of that for sure.
Perfect. And final question. I think I know the answer. Who is your pet Valentine this year?
Brody, have to say, even if I had multiple dogs, he would still be my favorite.
Is he also your favorite child?
Yes, definitely. Don't tell my children that. That's all I'm saying.
Please. Wouldn't dream of it. Yeah, I know
do
that.
Not
that would
tell my children.
That would crush their spirits. I know that.
AKA
all right,
son number one.
Well, love you, Dad. Thank you. That was excellent.
Oh, anything for the cause.
Love you, Pop. Thanks.
Love you too.
Bye. Bye.
Lot to take away from there.
Such great answers. I like how you switched it up and asked for just one word. That's impossible. I want to ask you, Dr. Kevin, what are three words to describe the love you feel for your pet?
Boundless. I'd say fluffy. And whimsical. Yeah, those
great.
Are my three. I'm going to give Link a solid 9.9. He's the Valentine for me this year. I woke up with him this morning. What I love about this cat, not only is he so silly, but he really does split the time between my wife and I. I mean, he makes sure that both of us are getting plenty of snuggles throughout the night. And I know that it does oscillate between, you know, is one of us using a heating pad, you know, which one of us is going to be the warmer, cozier option. Yeah. But I like to think of it as him really just making sure we both feel the love.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Greta Rose, do you have three words to describe a pet Valentine this year?
Ooh, impossible to describe. Those are my three words. And off the charts, it's got to be like a million. It's way beyond 10. And I would actually say that my pet Valentine would need to be Cleopatra Jones III, who isn't actually with us anymore, but she's like in my heart in a way that I think we always have that one dog that sort of just is the front of mind that comes to us, you know? And so Cleo, big shout out to you.
That's so sweet. I know she's got your heart forever.
Yeah.
And Link, if you're listening, the only reason you got a 9.9 is because you vomited under the bed this morning. I'm sorry, man. I mean, you, like, that brought you down from off the charts to like a solid A+. So look, we love you guys. We're so grateful for this community, and continue to please send your sound bites, your pet selfies, videos. We love seeing you guys enjoying time with your furry family members. And, you know, we always want to look to the future. So Greta Rose, what do we have coming up next?
March Madness. We're going to do it palms and paws style. What do we got going on?
Well, we've got a very special guest. I'm going to hold off on revealing who this person is, but we'll leave it to this person is even taller than me.
You know. Which is saying something.
They are pet and people obsessed. They are obsessed with growth and with impact and changing the world for the better. And this person has a very special place in their heart for March Madness and the game of basketball. So I'm going to leave it there. And I'm looking forward to everyone joining us for our next month's podcast. We are planning on having video for this one, so stay tuned. It's going to be a ball.
It's going to be a slam dunk.
Oh.